Welcome, everyone. How are you guys doing tonight? Good, 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 good. So I wanted to begin before we start, if I can ask everybody to just take out their phones and make sure it's silenced so we don't have any disturbances in the class today. So what I wanted to start with, short review, and then a little just breakout into your groups, and then we'll start with the main concept. If we start from the beginning, we've learned that our game of life has rules to it. And by learning these rules and learning the system, we can tap into the endless abundance that the Creator has already carved out for our soul. So every single one of us before we came to this world already has every fulfillment for our desires already parceled out. Now we're going through the process of earning this fulfillment. Kabbalistically, we've learned that how do you earn fulfillment? How do you earn love? How do you earn true health, the feeling of abundance, the feeling of security, of certainty? How do you earn this power, this energy, even in its physical form? How do we earn physical gifts and not just things that we get and then we enjoy them for a moment and then they leave us? We've learned that the earning process is a spiritual process of transforming what's called our tikkun. Before we came to this world, each one of us came with baggage. Do you remember the baggage? The different types of baggage, the little purse I had. Baggage of our negativity. And we carry it from life to life until we finally fully remove it, fix it. We learned that one of the ways of becoming like the light, yes, it's to remove our tikkun, but our tikkun dictates how we get what? How we get starts with an R, reactive. How do I get reactive? Some people get reactive by hiding. Fight, flight, freeze. There's three different ways, mainly, that people get reactive. Some people hide. Some people lash out. Some people shut down. Everyone has their own mechanism of being reactive. And by definition, reactive is our comfortable way of connecting to instant gratification. It's that way that I've been trained, that I know how to get energy to not deal with my process. And every time I'm reactive, I'm no longer the cause. I'm no longer the creator. I become the effect. I disconnect from the light. And as a result, I'm in darkness. And that's my choice. When we talk about the creator, it's very important to distinguish. The creator is not an old man in the sky making decisions for us. When we talk about the creator, we're talking about an endless stream of energy that never changes. In the same way, the electricity from the socket, it's there waiting for you to plug in. It doesn't have a bias. It doesn't care what religion you are. It doesn't even care what type of appliance you plug in. As long as you plug in the right way, the energy flows. Plug in the wrong way, it's a short circuit. If I stick a plug into the outlet with a key on top, with a key on it, a metal key, and I short circuit, and I get an electric shock, would I say that the electricity punished me? If I plugged in my laptop, opened up a stock account, started trading stocks, and I lost a lot of money, would I blame the electricity? The electricity is there. The Creator is there waiting to give us everything. How we connect or don't connect, that's our free will. Whenever we go through chaos or pain, that's only a result of me making a choice at some time in my past to disconnect. Just my choice. Have you ever made a choice to not do the right thing actively? Do you remember the time that you saw two options, you knew this isn't good for you, but you said, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways. I want a little energy. I want to just feel good right now. I don't care about the long term. I don't care what happens to me. I'm enjoying myself. Give me a taste. That was our decision to disconnect from the light. That might manifest later. Sometimes a year later, 3 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later. But every effect had its cause. And it's perfect, and we can never blame anyone. Never blame anyone, and especially don't blame the electricity. Electricity is just there to help. So we have to make sure when I say the word creator, I say it for effect, but it's an endless force of energy. We introduced the character last week. What is it? What is this force that we introduced? Satan. Not Satan, Satan. So we also have to remove all belief systems about Satan. Satan is a force, an energy, an angel. An angel is just a Kabbalistic word for energy. So if you don't like the word angel, just replace it with energy or force. He is the opponent. His job is to make sure we don't choose the light. He is that voice in our head that makes us have anxiety, doubts. It's that voice that makes it okay to judge when we're in a bad mood, to lash out. This is the force that doesn't make you take the risk in your business that you know you should, but you don't want to rock the boat. You're afraid. Or it's the force that always tells you to take risks recklessly without thinking. The force plays many roles. The force is the opponent, but his job is to make sure you're reactive. You are not in control. You're upset. You don't go through the process. You cheat, lie, manipulate, whatever. Just feel good. That's the job of the force. He gives you a little, but he takes a lot. And the force of the opponent is exactly on par with who we are. However spiritual you are, however strong you are, however long you've been on an amazing journey, you've gone everywhere, you've sought out every spirituality, you're so strong in your consciousness, and just Kabbalah just happens to be a next part of your destination. Don't worry, your Satan is tricking you right on your level. Just because, even if you study Kabbalah for a long time, it doesn't mean that you have a leg up on Satan. It's always on par to help you earn the next stage. He is the force that when you do all the right things, plant all the right seeds, and then you don't get the result you want, he says, you see, what was the point of all that? And then maybe your test is to have certainty, to keep pushing through the darkness. Every day, he makes it harder for you. Every day, he tells you, you don't have energy. Give up. There's no point. Settle for less. Go back to the old relationship. You know what? It wasn't so bad. You don't really remember all the bad moments. There's some good moments. That's the voice. It's always there. So we're cognizant of him now. We learned, pause. What's the next line? Pause. What a pleasure. Can't ever forget that. It's a pleasure to play this game. It's a pleasure to earn the light. But we also now added, recognize the voice of Satan. Separate him from you. It's not you. It's a force that's trying to trick you. You know, sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you don't feel well. Sometimes you're just having a bad day. Raise your hand if it's ever happened to you that you've had a bad day. Anybody? Anybody have a bad day? Okay. Not everyone, just 7 people. Whenever you're having a bad day, how fast, we got to remember, how fast can you just look at Satan and say, all right, this is a good one. Today it's a good one. I love it. I'm going to earn all the blessings today. Today is the day. I feel bad. Chaos. Things don't go my way. This is the day I love. This is the day I earn the greatest amount of blessings. And if you can remember that, that's strong consciousness. That's defeating the opponent. But if you just say, oh, I hate this day, I want it to be over, you're already in the hands of Satan. If you're waiting for the day to be over, you're going to repeat the day over and over again. You want to correct the day? You want this type of a day never to come back? I love it. You might say, what a pleasure, 1,000 times that day. But that's how you correct every moment of the day. Oh, it feels so good. Oh, but it feels so bad. Feels so good. Oh, but it feels so bad. No, it feels so good. I don't get any results yet. No results. It still feels bad. Exactly. What a pleasure. What a pleasure all day long. And you correct it. Even if, by the way, especially when you don't see results. That's the best time that you're revealing the light of the Creator. No results. You're working so hard in your business. So hard. You're doing everything. Try this, try that. Nothing's manifesting. The light is in the bank. It hasn't manifested yet. Why hasn't it manifested? Why is this in my movie? The Creator wants you to learn something. The Creator wants you to break your ego a little bit. The Creator wants you to don the attribute of humility, to don the attribute of compassion, don the attribute of remove your judgment, remove some kind of laziness, something. Find out what it is. I don't know what it is. Ask people. Who should I ask? Ask your wife. I don't want to ask my wife. Then you don't want the light. Ask your friends. Be open. Ask the Creator. Send me an answer. Send me a solution. I'm doing everything, but it's dark. I just keep saying, what a pleasure. But now what? Find out how badly do you want to know why you're going through what you're going and the lesson that you need to learn. So, oh, and the final thing that we learned was destinies. Multiple destinies that we all have. Every time I'm proactive, I shift to a new destiny. Don't try to change the people. We can confront people. We haven't learned fully yet how to confront. We're still working on ourselves. But even the art of confrontation is not so we can change the person. The art of confrontation is for us, which we will soon learn. We cannot change the movie. We can only change ourselves. So let's take a moment in your groups very quickly. If each person can just share no more than 10 seconds, how did you observe the voice of the opponent this week? What did he tell you this week? What kind of game did he play? Some good tricks. I want to hear some good tricks that he tried to play on you. He might have succeeded. He might have failed. It doesn't matter. The fact that you observed him, that's the starting point. Give yourself 2 minutes to do that, please. All right, everyone, I'm going to give 2 minutes, a couple minutes for questions. Questions. Who would like to ask a question? Bless you. Anybody would like to ask a question about anything we've learned so far? Yeah? Phil?
Hi, I'm Natalia.
Natalia?
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Hi. So we were talking, and one of the things that I've learned this past 3 weeks is that sometimes it's easier to apply what we learn here to other people.
You know? Yeah, like other people are not listening, are listening to their Satan.
Yes.
Yes.
So, like in my case, it's a dear friend, family member, and I've been working on her for a while. Like, you can't react that way, blah, blah, blah. And then when I started here, I'm like, you don't understand, you have to come. But she lives in New York, so no. But anyway, so sometimes, even if I know what to do for myself, I don't do it. But when it comes to her,
you're a brilliant genius.
So why is it? I mean, I know it's easier to tell someone else, but why? Like,
and that's a great question, and that is another one of the powers of the opponent. When it comes to ourselves, it's unbelievable. We don't see what's wrong. Sometimes we see too much. That's a different kind of tikkun. A person only sees what's wrong with them. That's another trick of Satan. But when it comes to our own ego, it's very fascinating. Imagine someone comes up to you, Natalia, and says, you know, I think you're this and that. All of a sudden, you're confused. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying. That's usually a response of someone who's being told that there's something wrong with them. I don't understand what you're saying. Because the opponent doesn't allow us to see about ourselves. Because if we did, the opponent would be out of a job. But when it comes to other people, we have x-ray vision. Because the opponent shows us. He feeds us information. He whispers in our ear and says, you know, Julie, you know, she's got issues. I'm going to even tell you what those issues are. And you're almost like psychic. And you go to them and go, you know, I feel you have issues. Like, you know, I think you're being reactive. Now, all of that might be true. But it's, again, the Satan trying to make you be busy with someone else's spiritual work, which is a complete waste of time. A complete waste of time. Now, are there times we should help people? Absolutely. We're not there yet. But if we don't like something in somebody else, it's because it's a reflection of us to some extent in some way. If you see on the news a guy going around creating trouble, serial killer, this, and it bothers you, and you say, oh my God, such a horrible person, and it bothers you, as soon as it bothers you, it means it's in you. But you might say, I wouldn't go around killing people. But we all have a little serial killer within. What does that mean, serial killer? We love killing people's reputation when they've hurt us. We have no problem going around speaking bad about other people when we feel threatened by them. Essentially, aren't we killing their reputation? So we all have the little killer within, the little politician within, the robber within. Whatever you don't like on TV, it's because a part of that is inside of us. And the Creator shows it to us to help us speed up our process to look within. Great question, Ty. Yes, Storm.
How do you know if it's intuition or the opponent? Because I have this conversation so much with girlfriends when I was single. Thankfully, this isn't a problem now. But when you're dating someone new, and I'm having this conversation with a girlfriend right now, we're trying to get to the bottom of it. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. But no, you're overreacting. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. No, you're overreacting. Like, how do you know which one's real and which one's...
You mean when information comes to your mind and says, for example, something about the guy?
Yeah, or even it could be a work situation, anything, like a fear. Is it intuition and you're like, you've got this spiritual knowledge that you should really stay away from this terrible situation? Mm-hmm. Or is that the opponent being like, run for the hills? Like,
that's
how do you know which one's right?
That's a great question. And the way I would answer that, everyone understood Storm's question? How do you know if it's Satan or the light talking to you? Right? Your intuition. And I'll tell you this. Until we've learned that there is such a thing as the light and the opponent, there was really no way we could discern. Now we know the playing field. It can either be the light or it can be the opponent. As time goes on and we start to understand how each react to us and interact with us, it will become more and more clear where those feelings are coming from. Usually, the opponent is telling us to do something that is within our comfort zone, that is selfish, and that at some point will hurt another individual. Usually what the light is telling us, it's going to be out of our comfort zone, usually. It's going to be something that's going to create a win-win. The light will never create a win-lose scenario. A win-win, and it's going to have an element of sharing to it. This is a good starting point. And each time, if you really check in with yourself and you say, is this the light? Is this the opponent? And you check in, you start to feel the truth. But most people don't even check in. They just follow voices. They follow what's comfortable. So they're never really making a choice. They're just following them. The intuition, they call it intuition. But some people are following what they think is intuition, and it's really the opponent leading them down a comfortable path. Great question. Great question. All right. You guys ready for the new concept? All right. I'm assuming we all want to be on the most direct path towards our soul's purpose? Yes or no? Is anyone here interested in the long route? Anyone? The scenic route? You know? The roads on the side, PCH. So we all want the direct path. So why is it that sometimes we don't have the direct path? Why is it that we keep repeating processes in our life? Tonight's class is about two major concepts. One, embracing the process and the value of the process. And two, how to speed up the process. Whenever a challenge comes, it's because the light wants to be revealed. But why can't the light be revealed? It's not because the light doesn't want to come. Kabbalah, I have a question for you. Kabbalah is the study of the light or the vessel? How many people think the study of the light? Okay. How many people think the study of the vessel? How many people are afraid to raise their hand? Kabbalah is the study of the vessel, not the light. There's nothing to study about the light. The light is just there. That's it. Done. Wanting to share. Nothing to study. The vessel is what we're studying. When the vessel is ready, the light will come in. That's it. As soon as you're ready, it comes. And if it hasn't come, we're not ready. What makes the vessel ready? What makes the vessel ready to hold the light? If I'm a 60-watt bulb, but I desire 1,000 watts of energy, 1,000 watts of energy can be many things. Peace of mind, an answer, healing, a relationship, abundance, wealth, a new home, whatever. I want 1,000 watts, but I'm a 60-watt vessel. I'm a 60-watt bulb. I need a process that comes into my life. And the process is so unique. It's filled with so many creative aspects. What does the process do? It expands the vessel. It builds the vessel. It purifies the vessel so that it can receive the new light. Every process has an intelligence to help us get to a place where we can hold blessings. And if I don't have blessings, it means that I don't have the vessel yet to hold it. I'll give you an example. How many of us would love to have a beautiful $9 million home out in where we live? If it's New York, if it's Los Angeles, if it's in Dubai, anywhere in the world you are, we'd all have a nice big home. So imagine a 20-year-old girl, her father tells her, honey, I love you so much. I love you so much. I want to give you a home. So you don't have to bother going to get work or get married and make money. And you know how hard it is to buy. I'm going to buy you the best home. And the father buys his 20-year-old daughter a beautiful $8 million home right out here in Beverly Hills. She comes into the home and you tell me, how does she feel? Excited, appreciative, feels nice. I mean, she just came from a $20 million home. It's a little bit of a downgrade, but it's okay. She's enjoying it for a couple of days. And then what happens after a while? You know, I don't really like the way these drapes are. I don't really like this furniture. You know, I wish the rooms were angled differently. Dad, you know, I don't really like it like this. Can we do it different? What's happened after 3 days? Does she truly enjoy and receive the energy of this home? Yes or no? She doesn't. Is there something wrong with the home? No. Because if somebody else who maybe worked so hard in their life, saved every penny, went through the process, got a mortgage, get a cosigner, this and that, oh my God, and all of a sudden they get their dream home, they walk in. That same home, by the way. How do they feel? Wow. Appreciate, enjoying it. Thanking the creator every moment. Who's happier? Both got the same physical object. Who's happier? The person who built the vessel for it. We sometimes forget about the value of the vessel being built. And we get focused on, I just want that thing. Why can't I have the thing? Give me the thing already. And the Creator knows that if we got the thing, we wouldn't have maximum enjoyment. Someone asked me, what's the greatest gift Kabbalah gave you? Tools, wisdom, yes, all of this. Kabbalah, the greatest gift Kabbalah gave me is the ability or the capacity to enjoy life. Because enjoying life, some people think enjoying life is get more stuff. Get more stuff. Same vessel, get more stuff. You feel good for a moment, and then it's not enough. Feel good for a moment, then it's not enough. New relationship, new this, new that. Oh, you know what? I'll be happy when I have a baby. Ah, feels good, amazing. And then it's, no, I'm empty again. I'm empty. It's like a nagging emptiness. Because it's about building the vessel. So why don't most people have the vessel to hold the light? It's because when the process comes, we skip the process. Being reactive is skipping the process. Someone came to me recently. I was walking down that hallway and they said, you know, I just broke up with my boyfriend and it's painful. I said, I understand. This person said, but it's okay, I'm working hard. I want to get through it. I want to get past it. What's the best advice you have? And I told them, the best advice I would have is to feel every bit of the pain. Pain has an intelligence that builds and cleanses. Now, I'm not saying go look for pain. But when a process is given to us, don't react to the pain. Don't try to numb the pain. Don't try to look for a solution. That's what a pleasure is. I love the process. Because what is the process doing? It's doing surgery on our soul. Vessel and soul are the same thing. I put it there. Our soul is our vessel. So I need a bigger soul to hold the blessings the Creator wants to give me. But it's painful. I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. Then Satan says to you, the relationship you let go, go get them. What if somebody else gets them? What if there's nobody else out there for you? Nonsense. He tells you nonsense. So we lose focus on building the soul. And we go to, oh my God, I need to get that energy back. We are stuck with the same soul. And what happens? We have to repeat the process. Because we're confusing the Creator. We tell the Creator every morning, I want to expand my vessel. Give me more. And then the process comes and we say, no, we don't want to expand the process. I hate this. Get me out of this. Quick. Okay, give me a pill. Tylenol, drug, party, this, sex, something, drinking, smoking. Ah, okay, good. All right, avoided that one. That was a close call. I almost had pain there for a moment. Stimulating ourselves, stimulation. In our world today, there are more outlets for stimulation than ever before. That's why things are taking longer. Technology gets faster, process gets slower. Because we all have a way now to avoid. Process is perfection. Process is key. And I'm not saying drag the process. We want to speed up the process, but don't skip the process. Being reactive skips the process and makes you go in loops and loops and loops. What does Satan tell us when we're going through a process? I have just the right medicine for you to get you out of this process. I'm going to make you speed up this process. That's what Satan tells us. He's duping us. He knows we're going to repeat the same process twice as hard in a year. He loves it. Think about it in our lives. What's a process we went through recently that was slightly painful, slightly challenging, slightly confusing? Oh, confusion, guys. Confusion is medicine for the soul. It sounds like a paradox. Confusion, what does confusion do? Totally removes the ego. Totally removes the selfishness. Totally removes the negativity. Because our negativity wants to know, wants to do, wants, and it can't. It's starving. Confusion expands the soul. And we know after any painful process we've ever been through, there was a blessing. And not just the blessing we got, but the capacity to enjoy that blessing. What is a process that recently we've been through? Try to think about it for a moment. Try to think how we reacted to that process. How many people have gotten food poisoning in the last year? I don't know if the mic just picked up what she said. She raised her hand and said a word that I can't repeat. Because as soon as we brought up that process you went through called food poisoning, you dropped the F-bomb right on it, right? Oh, I don't want to go through that again. And nor should we, by the way. I'm not saying go out and eat bad sushi. But if you tried everything in your power to not eat bad sushi and you ate bad sushi, enjoy the process. It's painful. You feel it. It's the worst. You just want to crawl up in a ball and hate life. And you say, as you're feeling the pain, what do we say? Aversion. And you know what's going to happen? Wisdom will be revealed to you. If you can have a smile and truly not, you fake it in the beginning, but usually at some point, something opens. Wisdom comes. Enlightenment comes. Something powerful actually comes. But if we're so busy with, complaint, I wish that happened, moaning, medicine, so what's going on? There's no process. All I'm trying to do is get it over with, and I'm not even feeling it. I'm not connecting to the intelligence. Even food poisoning. Rejection, humiliation, loss of funds, getting sick, getting tired. Somebody hit our car. We hit somebody else's car. Your kids aren't calling you. Instead of telling your kids, you know, you haven't been calling me. Pause. Restrict. Don't try to manipulate them to call you. Pause. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the process of not having what you want as a helicopter parent. Enjoy it. Allow, see what it does for you. See how it opens you. Someone was telling me that when their best friend died, it was so hard for them, they were shaking like this. They couldn't stop the shaking. That's it, shaking. Eventually another friend came and said, take this pill. It was a drug. Took the pill. Shaking stuff. All that month, he couldn't sleep every night. Kept waking up, couldn't sleep. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, when you heard your best friend died, trauma, your body had trauma, pain. And the way it was able to release the trauma was through the shaking. So what did you do? You quickly took a pill and you numbed the process of your body to release the pain. So you had to pay for it residually in every night's sleep for a month. What's better, not sleeping for a month or shaking for an hour? Think about it. But in life, in spirituality, it's much more extreme. It's shaking for a minute and not sleeping for 5 years. Spiritually. This point of tonight's class is to change our belief system about pain and to change our belief system about process. We will learn more about pain later and the power of it and how it comes and where it comes from and what it really does. But tonight, it's all about feeling emotionally the power of process. I know it seems sometimes that the process is taking so long and actually my life is slowing down and everyone's rushing by me. Everyone's getting everything amazing, getting the job of their life, the relationship of their life. You see that Instagram? That's all you see is a photo of a hand and a giant rock. And you're like, what's going on here? Satan comes. Getting old. What about you? I love it. What a pleasure. I love it. I want to go through my process. And the minute you make that decision, the universe helps you. You go through the process and you get the reward. If you fight it, if you complain about it, if you give it evil eye, if you do judgment on it, delaying your process. The power of feeling the pain. The power of embracing the pain. What a pleasure means I embrace, I accept, I want to speed it up, but in a way that is proper, in a way that is spiritual. I don't want to bypass. I want to go through this. Just the one thing, by the way, gives you the divine insight of how to do it. So in your tables, really quickly. Actually, because this is a longer workshop, in pairs or in threes, however you decide to do it. So don't do the whole table because it will take more time. Share a process you recently went through that now you realize there was some intelligence behind it to expand your vessel so that you can hold the light. Maybe you finished it. Maybe you're in the middle of it. Maybe you ruined it. Doesn't matter. Start to share it because we can actually go back in time to fix things. All right? So in pairs or groups of three, share a process you recently went through that you know was there to help you expand your vessel and open you up to more light. Please. All right, everyone. I'm going to share the following example because I feel it could help someone. This week, I was speaking to somebody. She was telling me about her two beautiful children. Then her and her husband started to go into how before they had their kids, they experienced a very tragic miscarriage of twins. That was incredibly painful. It was a whole painful process in their lives. So many things were happening financially and family and this. And all of a sudden, the one thing that was bringing them true joy, the pregnancy, was terminated. And we got into a conversation, but why did it happen? How could it have been avoided? These are not questions for tonight's class. We will address those kind of questions in the future. But I will need to draw upon a future lesson to kind of address this in a basic way. If the goal is that the Creator wants us to truly feel happiness, sometimes in a certain area, we need to have something, lose it, and then have it again to truly understand it and appreciate it and enjoy it. Do we all agree with that? There's no way to deny that if I've had something and then I lost it and then I have it, I will enjoy it than if I just get it once and that's it. And not to say that, God forbid, in that area that needs to happen. But in her specific case, for whatever reason, these souls came as volunteers, left after 4 or 5 months, came back a couple years later, and into the children. From the soul's point of view, they were brilliant. They were very brilliant with what they were doing. They said, we want our parents to have the highest level of happiness. In order to do that, we need to come, go, and come. That was their intelligence. That's the way the Creator designed it. Why them? Why not somebody else? Not for today. But there's a master design behind everything to bring a higher level of feeling the light. That's why people take drugs, because they want to feel the light. It just doesn't last that long. That's the problem. When I first started studying Kabbalah, my teacher once said, listen, if there was a pill that made me feel the light and have blessings all day long, every day for the rest of my life, I wouldn't study Kabbalah. But there's no such pill, so I have to study Kabbalah. There's no drug, temporary fulfillment. People take drugs because they want to feel that amazing energy. Imagine you're a performer, you're on stage in front of 100,000 people. That feels like being with the light. Even if you're miserable, totally depressed, when you're on stage, you feel God. And then you leave and you go back to depression. But that's the highs and lows that most people have, because it's not about that thing making me feel the light. I have to feel it inside myself by embracing the process and learning the spiritual lessons. There are no shortcuts to this. That's the first concept. Another concept we're going to learn, and then we're going to take questions. How do we speed up the process? Raise your hand if you would like to know how to speed up the process. Okay. I'm going to talk about something that's a little controversial. And everyone's kind of a different opinion about this. But let's learn it Kabbalistically. How many people, in some way, some shape, or some form, even if it's once a year, find that they pray? Pray. Right? That's a good majority. What is prayer? Religion has created prayer into be something that is not what we're going to discuss today. I want you to look at this slide. What do we see here? See a creator, creative force, the endless force of sharing positive energy. We see people here praying. Traditionally, how do people view prayer? Something's not going my way. I'm in a jam. It's very tough right now. Someone's sick. The creator is some kind of variable force that I can bribe via me staying in my comfort zone and screaming, yelling, desiring, tricking, maybe flattering, praising this force to be different for my benefit now because I'm uncomfortable. It's a traditional look at prayer. So people pray to change the creator. People often, this is the trick of the opponent. The opponent has put this in people's minds. Pray to change the creator. But we just learned at the beginning of the class, the electricity, the creator. Is the creator a changing force? Yes or no? Can the creator change, by the way? Creator is endless. Where is the creator? Up? Down? Where? Everywhere. Inside, outside, many dimensions. There's no place the creator is not. Let's put it that way. Creator is everywhere. So what does that mean, I'm going to change the creator? Does that even make sense? God, creator, light, force, whatever you want to call it. Change. I don't like this. This is not working for me right now. Change you. Doesn't make any sense. But for thousands of years, that seems to be a way of praying. Kabbalah understands prayer differently. Kabbalists say when we pray, it's not, let's remove the word prayer. Request, ask, invite. Request strength from the Creator to change me. When I'm going through my process and I feel weak, I feel lonely, I feel not strong enough, I feel doubts, I feel worries, I feel anxiety. I feel I want to punch somebody in the face. I feel I want to kill somebody right now. What should I do? How do I speed up my process? Because sometimes we don't have strength. We don't have strength. Pray. Pray for what? Pray to remove this problem? Pray to remove my mother? My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, pray to get this person to treat me better. You're not allowed to do that. When we ask the Creator for strength, the process of asking isn't changing the Creator, by the way. Who is it changing? Us. When you pray in your own way, in your own language, on your knees, up above, however you want to do it, laying in your bed, in a church, temple, or mosque, it doesn't matter. But when you, from a desire from within, you ask, and there's levels of desire, right? There's, hey, you know, I really need some strength right now. It'd be nice. Well, I'm eating a sandwich and drinking a coffee. Yeah, oh, by the way, I'd like some strength right now. And then there's, please, I really need strength. And then there's, I don't even know what to do anymore. I must have strength. I demand, I command, I must. I must know what my tikkun is. I must know what the message is of why I'm blocked financially. I must know why I'm blocked with my health, blocked with my weight, blocked with my self-image, why I keep beating myself up, why I'm sarcastic all the time, why I'm blaming everybody, why I'm judgmental, why I judge myself, why I have guilt, why I can't let go of the past, why I think everyone's out to get me, why I can't trust anyone, why I'm one foot in, one foot out. I need to know why. I need strength. Show me. Open my eyes. It always works, by the way. If you ask for strength or wisdom to change you, always answered. Why? Because that process of asking shapes your soul and your vessel. It goes from a, it makes you from a 60 watt bulb to a 100 watt bulb. Keep doing it, you go to 150. Keep doing it some more, you go to 200. You'll get messages. Do you really want to know what's blocking you financially? Do you really want to know what's blocking some aspect of your life? All you got to do is ask. You got to really ask. Please, Creator, force, light, God, whatever, show me. Show me. Not give me. Give me that. Oh, I really like her. I hope she likes me. God, please make her like me. It's manipulation, that's selfishness, and that's avoiding the process. What if she's going to treat you miserably and it's going to be the worst relationship of your life? How do you know? We don't know. We don't know who we're supposed to be with or what we're supposed to do. Next thing you know, you fight for something, you get it, and it's the worst thing for you. So how do we know? All we know is expand the vessel. Open yourself. Allow the light in. Yes, what a pleasure. Pause. Correcting my behavior, not being reactive. That's all expanding and purifying the vessel. Here's another tool. It's such a powerful tool that Satan totally twisted it. How often are you supposed to ask? What are the rules? All day long. All day long. Andrea, you can ask all day long. All day long. Right? You have a goal? You have a dream? You have something you desire? How many times in a day should you ask the Creator to show you what you need to do to manifest it? All day long, show me. And I still don't know. Show me, show me, show me. Give me strength. Show me. As you're eating, show me. As you're in the shower, shampooing your hair. I wonder, today, what kind of a day it's going to be? Show me. Give me strength. Give me strength. I'm coming to a class. I'm about to teach a class. Not just thinking, oh, what's the subject going to be? What am I going to teach about? No. Creator, please, give me strength. Show me. Show me how to be a channel. Show me what to do. Expand my vessel. Help me change. Show me my tikkun. Show me my negativity and give me the strength to deal with my negativity. I'm beating myself up. Ah, it's too much. Creator, give me the strength not to. Or I'm so into myself, I don't think anything's wrong with me. I'm amazing. I am the light. I don't even know why I'm in this class. I'm just sitting here observing. It's nice. It's a nice guy. Wait, Creator, I could be totally wrong right now. I could be so into myself, so blocked. Show me. Maybe I'm wrong. Please show me. Please, please, I could be totally wrong. Please, show me. That's what prayer is. And it's going to work every time, guys. You don't need strength from anywhere else. If you ask, you're going to get it immediately. It's incredible. It comes from somewhere so fast, it's unbelievable. I once had a student who was so upset with me. Every time I met with him, every week he'd come and tell me a new problem. He said, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? Every week it was a different problem. I always told him the same thing. Did you ask? Ask what? Did you ask the Creator for strength to show you what it is? What's the problem? Notice that I want you to tell me. I said, even if I was going to tell you, who's going to tell me? If you haven't earned the answer, I'm not getting any messages here. You could have the greatest spiritual being ever in front of you who's a prophet and sees everything. He won't get a message for you if your vessel's not ready to hear it. So you need to go do some work first, open yourself up, clean yourself up, say why it's in your movie, try to figure it out, ask the Creator for strength, then come back. Any doctor you ask will give you the right answer. But if you're not ready to hear it, any doctor you go to won't give you the right answer. Who are doctors? Who are teachers? Who are gurus? They're just pipes. They're just pipes of energy. And what energy flows through them depends on if you're ready to hear it. The fastest way to speed that up is what? ask. People don't ask. People think they ask. They don't ask. They ask in dire circumstances. When it's all going down, oh my God. Even a thief who's robbing a bank as he's running from the police, what is he doing? God, please help me. Please, 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 please. Get these cops off of me. Even the thief, but speeds up the process so quick, so, so quick. And again, this is not religion. Take it all out in however you want to request, you can request. The energy is waiting. It's endless and infinite. Some people like to visualize a request from above. Some people like to request the energies from within. Both work. Some people like to visualize a spirit. Some people, doesn't even matter. Just do the request. Just do the request. Questions? Yes, please. Introduce yourself, everybody.
Hi, I'm Pamela. You were talking about how we have to embrace the pain. What about when people get so caught up in the pain and it almost becomes like their mantra. It's like, I'm in pain, so you have to be empathetic to me. I'm in pain, so you have to be gentle with me.
Okay, great question. So what is the opponent, what is Satan doing to them at that moment? Actually, maybe keep the mic, yeah. So we know that they're going through a process that's preparing them for something. The opponent knows that, so the opponent's trying to stall the process or avoid the process. So what is the opponent telling that person right now?
To
look for?
Empathy and other people to fix them.
Very good. Yeah. So sometimes when we're going through a process, we use that as license to get other people to feel bad for us. We use that as license to take from people. And that's slowing down our process.
So how do we know how much pain to feel and how and when to let go of the pain and sort of come out of that and heal ourselves?
Well, we always want to let go of the pain. We just don't want to avoid the pain. The way, and it's a paradox. I hope you're ready for this. The way to not have pain is to embrace it. Because the minute you embrace it, it's gone. That's what's amazing. As soon as you go into the pain, you go through the birth canal, it's done. As soon as you love the pain, it's not pain anymore. But Satan doesn't want us to do that. Satan wants us to dance around the pain and just always kind of touch and go feel it for the rest of our lives. So Satan, no, I'm going right into it. You're afraid of something? You're afraid of calling someone? You're afraid of a business meeting? You're afraid of firing someone? You're afraid? Avoiding. Go right into it. Go right in and ask for strength. Ask for help. And again, some situations will be tricky, right? It's case by case basis. Each time you have to check in with yourself and say, okay, what's happening here? There will be certain situations that are very tricky and we don't know what to do. I agree. But there are many situations that are not tricky at all and are very clear. If you do those situations properly, the light will shine on the unclear situations and show you what to do. But start with the low-hanging fruit. The areas where clearly we're avoiding something. Yeah, great question. Oh, please, yeah.
Hello, I'm Nye. So my question maybe is a little complicated, so I'll see how you want to answer it. I have a question about when you look at stories of apparently very spiritual people who you appear to have done the right thing, they revealed a lot of light, they had a lot of wisdom, they helped a lot of people, but their lives were still tremendously hard and it ended badly. For instance, as an example, Gandhi. Did incredible things, incredible wisdom, changed his entire life. I mean, we generally sort of consider that him to be a spiritual person, but was murdered at the end of his life. You know what I mean? And so how do you reconcile? I mean, there's a lot of very stories of spiritual people that were flayed because of the ways they believed or things like that. How do you reconcile that into the process of correcting yourself and how that should make our lives better? Because it looks like from just
looks like they're doing it, yeah. And life seems to not be so great.
They're painting a target on their backs.
Sure. That's a great question. Number one, we can never understand or even begin to comprehend the lives of people on that level, because they're experiencing a level of joy and ecstasy and bliss, very spiritual people, that for them, they operate totally by different rules. Those kind of people who have already finished their process, they're only in this world to collect the pain of other people. So when they're going through something, they are actually helping other people by going through it. When, even though it looks like from our point of view they're going through pain, they don't experience it that way. Why? Well, that's how they got to such a level. They got to such a high level of consciousness. Pain for them doesn't mean anything. Throw them in the worst situation, to them, it's like heaven. Because in their mind, they've already entered another dimension of happiness, ecstasy. They're completely in control of their own satan. They go through a process, but we can't sit there and analyze, oh my God, yeah, if I was in that, I'd be miserable. But they're not miserable. They're feeling the light of the Creator because they've earned a certain reality. Now, why they go through this, why they go through that, we don't know. It could be past life stuff. It could be because the world needs to go through that. It could be because they finished their correction and they need to leave the world. It just happens to be through murder, but then he comes back as a different soul in a different way and helps the world in a different way, right? So there's a much bigger picture. But what we do know for sure is if I do my work, I will experience happiness, control, and power on the most real, balanced level. If I do my work, pain and chaos will not be part of my life. It may look like I'm going through challenges to everybody else, but if they ask me, I'm having a great time. I don't know what you're talking about. But to everybody else, it might look like something else. So that's what we're working for. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Great. It's a great question. Great question. All right, guys. Anything else? Then we're going to finish with a meditation. How about that? Does that sound good? All right. So I want you to sit with your arms flat, your feet flat. And I want you to close your eyes for a moment. For some people, meditation can be hard, so just bear with me. And I'm going to teach you one way to meditate, but you can do it any way you like. Let's visualize a white light that's emanating from the bottom of our feet all the way up through our body. Just imagine a flow of white light coming all the way through until it reaches your crown and then it stops there. As it's doing that, it's completely healing trauma, pain, hurt. It's removing all negativity from you. Any tikkun that you know of, any tikkun that you don't know of, it's healing you. Observe how the voice of Satan might be trying to interfere. Keep him outside. He's not allowed in the body. Just imagine the force field around you and he's just screaming and no one can hear him. Now, visualize this white light emanating all the way up. Up, up, up to the sky and to the endless. To the Creator. If you prefer, this light can be going inside into the Creator within you, whatever you feel better, whatever visualization works for you. When this light enters the realm of the endless, in your own way, in your own language, ask the Creator for strength. Ask the Creator for help. Ask the Creator for guidance in a specific area of your life. There's no rules at this point. Do it the way you feel comfortable. And when you've made the request or the command, if you like, visualize this light coming all the way back down now to you, through your crown, back down to your feet. But the second time this light comes back, you're a different person. You've expanded your vessel now. Your soul has grown. You have the capacity now to receive higher illumination, greater energy. Just through this simple prayer, you've changed as if you went through a major challenge and you transformed reactive behavior. Same type of change, but you can do it on demand anytime you want, asking for help. You should just feel that it's happened. Have the certainty that you have now a new vessel, a new energy. You are replenished. You can open your eyes. This is one of thousands of ways to do it. Each person, find your own way. Some people are going to come back next week and say, I had no clue what you're talking about. Some other people will say, I don't know who I'm talking to. Some other people will say, I don't even believe there is a creator, so what should I do? Other people will say, I asked, but I didn't hear back anything. All perfect. It took me about 8 years before I was comfortable with this concept. My teacher once told me, the one thing you don't have is a relationship with the creator. Told me that after 5 years of studying Kabbalah. Changed in me. I said, wow. I never thought about it. And then I started to ask. I started to use this powerful tool that was always there and I never used it. It works so beautifully and there are no rules to it. Don't take energy from other people. You don't need to. It's going to be very temporary and it's not going to really help. When you feel you want to be reactive and take energy, pause, take it from above. Take it from the source. The source is much more powerful than everybody else. Don't take energy from our physical world. That's being reactive. Take it from the source. Request it from the source. The energy will come. You'll expand your vessel. You'll be a different human being. You'll move forward in your process very quickly. I would love to hear stories next week of how you did it and maybe something opened. And again, it might not happen right away. You might ask for strength and then feel nothing for like 3 days. And then a message comes. A person comes. Something comes. For everyone, it's going to be different. All right? Before you leave, just in your groups, share your most powerful takeaway from tonight's class, and then you're free to go. Thank you all very much.